City. This is 2GO Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer.
Good morning, every day, every single day. Oh, you good? You good? Oh, there he is. There he is. Every day.
You know what? You know when your mind is in a space. And I don't know if you
I know do, when your mind's in a space.
Yeah, because you get very focused.
And yes, you're going, you do.
I'm thinking through things. And I'm going, okay, that's going to happen. Then that's going to happen. And then all of a sudden you go, right, here we go. We're ready to go. And I go,
Hang on a minute. I've just been sitting here.
They're not even plugged in.
Gazing at my navel.
They're good now.
You're good, aren't you? You're ready to go. Here we are.
Ready to roll.
Yeah, it's a bit of a wet one, but it's actually quite warm outside. Like, it's about 16 degrees already, so...
Yes, it's saturated.
Yeah, very, very wet, so please be careful on the roads. Hey, here's some news for you. Who wants a little bit of secret sound news? The secret sound...
is at $31,000.
Sure is, and we have another clue for you at 7 o'clock this morning. So, a clue a day at the moment,
and they
it's going up... And it's going up a grand at a time.
Thick and fast.
Yeah, they are coming up thick and fast. All right. You get yourself sorted.
Mate, I'm good at
You're good as gold? 100%. All right. Excellent. We
it's
are
just
on.
One simple action of putting some earphones on and we're away.
We're on for Wednesday. Wednesday is go, Central Coast.
I hope you're away for Wednesday in a good fashion too.
2GO.
107.7 2GO.
Music that makes you feel good. Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer. Showers, chance of a thunderstorm today. Surf is not good, it's hazardous. And we've got a gale wind warning as well. 17 our top, 16 at the moment.
I feel like I'm standing outside the principal's office back in year 8, rubbing my hands up and down on the bricks, waiting to get the strap across the fingers.
No, you're not in real trouble. I don't think you realise. This time yesterday, Rob was in a bit of a flap because you slept through your alarm and you ended up racing into work late, and it was just Scramble City from that moment onwards, wasn't it?
Well, I wouldn't say it was late. It was just not, wasn't actually as early as normal.
No, but you were behind the eight ball, and we all know what happens when you're behind the eight ball. You're kind of going, have I done this? Have I done this? Have I done this?
You sleep through your alarm. You're basically slapping yourself in the face as you start the car going, come on, man, start this thing. And you're not talking about the car.
No, you're talking about your own head. Well, the funny thing was that you did do the right thing, which was text us all and say.
Immediately.
And you said, swear word, which I won't say on the radio, alarm issue, I'm on my way, which was fabulous because we all went, okay, he's all right. He hasn't died in his sleep or anything. He's on his way. But then you did something and I thought it was a bit funny, and I've got the boss in here as well just to, you know.
Good morning.
Good morning, Yammo. Great to have you on the show.
Hello, Yammo.
Great to be here.
You put a big kiss on there. Kiss, kiss. To your workmates.
Did I?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's done out of, like, you know, out of, what's wrong with a kiss?
I'm here to tell you, Rob. I'm here to tell you, mate. It borders on sexual harassment.
I just thought it was really funny that you would send a work message to three of your colleagues and you'd add a little kiss at the end of it.
Add a kiss, kiss.
Yeah.
Because it was sent out of, like, love for the team.
I think it was sent because you hadn't woken up yet and you thought you were texting your wife.
No, the last thing I'm going to do is confuse you lot with my wife, ever. So I've got up, I've gone, yep, I'm away, kiss, kiss,
I think it happens a lot.
Nudge.
Have you ever done this, Yam? Have you ever texted a kiss to someone inappropriate?
I haven't. I only, there was one particular occasion.
Okay.
Go on,
do you want to share it on the radio or are you going to get in trouble?
No. It's fine. It was just one particular occasion. It was a work colleague.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It has happened to me too.
Because you don't think. You just do it automatically, right?
I would send you a kiss in a work text,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah. Well,
no problem whatsoever.
What about emails? Are you allowed to put kisses on the end of emails?
Well, no, because I can't type. So everything I type is slow and considered. But with a text at that time in the morning, oh, my goodness, kiss, kiss.
Love you guys.
I'm
on the way.
Love to the team. I would kiss, kiss anyone. It doesn't mean I want to snog you, Yammo.
It is a strange thing to say when you're panicking, though. Kiss.
It's my way of alleviating stress.
Well, we've got a special playlist thanks to Yammo. Yammo said that we can play. Got some Hall & Oates coming up, guys. Or maybe just a bit of Wendy Matthews. Oh, where's Wendy Matthews?
Tell you what.
Oh. And then. So we've got all those songs coming up, everybody. So
you're going to give me some Tom Jones there as well.
Oh, yeah. 107.7, 2GO.
It's Mandy and Rob Palmer's Central Coast local news update. 107.7, 2GO.
The Restaurant and Catering Awards for Excellence are always hotly contended, and I know that the regional element is really big for the Central Coast. Lots of restaurants enter this. So the awards were last night at the Star in Sydney, and the winner was the Sea Salt Restaurant in Crown Plaza, Terrigal Pacific. They've been crowned the winner of the 2019 New South Wales Regional Restaurant in a Hotel or Resort, so they're very proud of that.
That is fantastic.
Great news.
And there'd be, that's huge competition for that sort of thing. Well done to them. In sport, a superstar from our region, the Central Coast, has its own MMA fighter, the mixed martial arts. Basically, it's just brawling using any move you can work out how to use, right?
Right.
You use every, you know, whether it's taekwondo, karate. I can't believe this stuff. Anyway, the 25-year-old Jamie Malarkey is going up against a Kiwi opponent on October 6th at Marvel Stadium in Melbourne. He's the highest-ranked lightweight in the country.
Yeah, this is the UFC.
See, yeah, he's the UFC, the Ultimate Fighting Championship.
Yeah, yeah. He's gone big time.
Incredible stuff. I don't know how you'd feel if you were the mother of this
kid. No.
Because they do copper hiding.
Let's not talk about
that. And he's had 15 clashes in the past. He's only won two of them. His opponent that he's coming up against, the Kiwi, is one from seven. So he's more experienced, but equally as unfortunate.
Go, Jamie Malarkey.
Let's get him in there.
He's got the greatest name, Malarkey. That's fantastic. Hey, here's some news from Mayor Jane Smith, who will join us on the show after 7:30 morning. Yeah, I do too, but she's being challenged. There's a councillor that's going to challenge her in the mayoral election happening on Monday night. The entrance ward councillor, Lisa Matthews, has been voted in by the majority of the Labor members and has the support of some independents as well. She's been in local government for 19 years.
Tell you what.
So, Monday night.
Challenges are kimber.
I know,
in
right?
Government.
There's leadership spills all over the place. Anyway, we'll chat to Jane about that when she joins us after 7:30.
Now, here's a grab for cash. Check your CTP green slip eligibility. Have you taken your refund?
Oh, yeah.
The postcode 225, though, that's Gosford's postcode, there's $364,000 available to go between 8,000 car owners. That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. I've done mine. I got my refund. Did you get your refund? You got to check it.
I think so.
You got to check it.
I can't tell you if I did.
Just get in it, because over $9.1 million has already been claimed.
You know I only open mail once a month.
I know. You're insane. But the deadline's coming, so don't dilly-dally. I think it's the end of September is all you've got.
You'd kick yourself if you let that get through the door, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. All cash is good cash. 107.7 2GO. Music that makes you feel good on 107.7 2GO. It's Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer, and it's chucking it down across the coast. Showers, chance of a thunderstorm, hazardous surf gale, wind warning. As well. Top of just 17 right now in Glenworth Valley. It's 16. And we got wind of a new production happening at the Peninsula Theatre in Woi Woi. We love our arts. We love our theatre. I know you love a musical, Rob.
Sure do.
The guy who wrote it and composed the music in it and stars in it as well joins us right now, Phil Moore. Welcome.
G'day, Phil.
Thank you for having me.
It's called A Voyage to Arcturus.
Yeah, that's right.
Tell us about the show.
It's a sci-fi musical. Classic rock, science fiction and philosophy all rolled into one. A young man searches for the meaning of life on an alien planet.
You've got me.
You love a musical, Rob. What do you love about musicals?
The music side of it, it's a performance. And then there's also a story that strings through these performances, these small performances that happen within the show that ties it all together and takes you on a journey that, you know, you otherwise wouldn't have had.
A good musical, yes, you're right. The songs are part of the story. The lyrics are part of the character development. And that's absolutely what I've tried to go for here. So there's a lot of music. There's like 32 different songs in the show. There is dialogue, however. Our central character ends up on an alien planet and meets a whole host of weird and wonderful people over the course of a lifetime, practically.
And it's a comedic show, isn't it?
There's some very funny moments, because we're just in the middle of rehearsals now, so our lead actor, Tom Keel, is really starting to get hold of the main character.
What gets me is the term proof of concept for a Broadway production. Where are you going here?
It was originally going to be just a workshop, which was practically people in front of music stands doing the show, but that wouldn't really get it across properly. I got some extra money from a private investor, so now it's like more than a workshop, but not quite a full production.
What you're saying is you would desperately like this to go all the way to Broadway. This has been written on the Central Coast, performed on the Central Coast. You've got music written by yourself on the Central Coast, and this could potentially be on Broadway.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm going to video the whole thing, and we're going to showcase that to Sydney, West End, Broadway. So the whole point of the show is to pitch it to the next level.
Okay, well, we need bums on seats, Central Coast. And why don't you go along and support this local production? This is the Peninsula Theatre in Woi Woi. Performances start next Friday. There are a few matinee performances as well. So this would be a great one to ring someone you know and go, hey, let's go and see a musical about aliens.
And if you, the second Saturday night, which is the 5th, the matinee and evening show, that's the one we're filming.
Okay.
They're the ones we're filming. So we'd like a good audience for those ones especially.
Are the aliens green and do they have boggly eyes?
Not boggly eyes, but we do have extra organs on their heads.
Ooh.
And there's green and blue and all sorts of colours.
Nice. Yeah. All right, Central Coast, it's time to get behind the Peninsula Theatre in Woi Woi. If you want to find out more, ArcturusMusical.com, or you can find them on Facebook. Just search for Arcturus Musical. Have a great opening performance next Friday, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, heaps. Thanks for having me, guys.
107.7 2GO.
Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer. It says a chance of a thunderstorm. We're pretty sure that it's just going to be a wild, woolly Wednesday. Lots of water around the Central Coast. Hazardous surf, 2 gale wind warning, 17 our top right now in Campbell. It's 16, so we're almost at our top.
Yep.
But take care on the roads. If you see anything, there's all that localised flooding that tends to happen, 13, 27, 10.
You know the glasses that I got recently, Mandy?
Yes, I do.
Right? Changed my life. Could suddenly see everything.
It's great.
Reading was easy. You know, and I'd like to thank you for encouraging me to get over that speed hump of doubt.
And when you say encourage, you mean bullying. You.
Yeah, you did, actually. I didn't stand a chance of not having them. But, look, I was concerned before I got them, not just about wearing glasses, but about how I was going to manage handling them, because I've never been able to hold on to sunnies or a watch or anything like that. Any accessory.
Your wedding ring's gone. You know,
right.
We talked about that yesterday.
Everything.
You just can't hang on to stuff.
I can't hang on to stuff. So, you know, first, was I going to sit on them? I did. You remember you put the lenses back in for me.
I popped them back in.
I thought, am I going to lose them? I had managed to hold on to these things, right? So I'm thinking, this is not too bad. I'm going, okay. One thing I did not count on, I mean, even the kids have been good. The dog, however, is another story altogether.
So you showed me your glasses on the show yesterday, was it? And if you've missed the video of the way they fell apart,
honestly,
in my hand.
The dog had chewed the arms. Anyway, I've gone back to Bateau Bay yesterday with my head hanging low, tail between my legs. Just say, how am I going to tell these ladies at iCare Plus what's happened?
Well,
and I went.
And
here we go. You know, iCare Plus to get the glasses looked at.
How are we?
Hello, Claire. Look at what my dog has done.
Oh, you're kidding. No. He's done a lovely job with that. You shouldn't need to floss his teeth.
I couldn't believe it. He took them off the table. Are they fixable?
We can possibly replace the temple. I would.
Doesn't sound good.
It's not really funny, is it? Yeah, unfortunately, wouldn't be covered under warranty. But
I understand that.
I will see what I can do about replacing just the temple and get you back on track with that. But yeah, he's done a good job.
Oh, my dog!
Do you know the moment where I thought, this isn't good, right? It's the moment when this happened. You ask her, you go, is it fixable? And she goes, you know that long arm when someone goes, it's not going to work.
How do I break this to you? 107.7
2GO. It's going to feel a long way from summer today on the Central Coast. Showers, chance of a thunderstorm, hazardous surf, gale wind warnings as well. Top of 17, there's plenty of water around. 16 at the moment in Holgate, and just take care on the roads. There is some localised flooding in the usual places like Wells Street, 13, 27, 10, if you see anything we need to know about.
Drove through Wells Street this morning.
Did you get that big?
It wasn't as much as it had been in the past.
All right.
So one half of the road was definitely submerged.
Yep.
The other half was more like, you know,
a big puddle.
Yeah.
I think we got 60 mils overnight, didn't we? Or in the last 24 hours, about 60.
A lot of rain.
Yeah, that's a lot of rain. All right, I've got good news about the environment and climate change and all those things, and I've got bad news. Which one do you want first, Rob?
How about we finish on a high?
Right? Okay, good.
Start with the bad news.
Let's go with the bad news. Okay. This, I read this and I thought, wow, I've been waiting for this, and it's a sad, sad state of affairs.
Oh, no.
Canadian teenagers are pledging not to have children because they know that bringing kids into a world where the climate is going to have a really big impact on whether there's water, food, when there's natural disasters and all of those things. They're saying basically, I'm not bringing a kid into this world. Whoa. So there's a bunch of teenagers in Canada run by one girl called Emma. And she's started a hashtag called No Future, No Children, where she's pledging not to have children until policies are changed and are at the centre of politicians' election platforms.
She's the Canadians aren't going to last long, are they?
Well, America will just take over
78
anyway.
78 years, no one left.
But, you know, that's it, right? So kids are really worried about this. And I know myself, my daughter, you know, she is really worried about this. And you can see the anxiety in kids when they start talking about the future, when they're hearing all this stuff in the news, right?
You see kids give you the shame look.
Yes.
If you do something or if you're part of something that is not for the environment, you get, you know, a 14-year-old can cut straight through you.
They want to know that we are doing everything we can.
Yeah.
As adults, as politicians, yep. as people that have, you know, you know, the right to change policies and all of that.
Nothing more arresting than a child looking at you saying, you are ruining my future.
Why didn't you do something?
Yeah, that's right.
So it's really pertinent. And the Climate Action Rally is happening across this country on Friday. My daughter's going down to Sydney. It's happening in the Domain at 12 p.m. She's made her cardboard placards already.
Are we on to the good bit now?
No. Well, that is a good bit. Okay. I mean, I think a climate action rally is a great way for the public to show how important this is to the politicians and the policymakers.
Yeah.
There is one you can join here on the Central Coast, Gosford Leagues Club Field, the field right there outside the Leagues Club where you can play, you know, soccer and all that sort of stuff, near the tax office there. So you can join the rally here locally midday on Friday. But the good news I wanted to get to is about Lego.
Ah, good. Here we go.
He's breathing again. That's good.
Lighthearted.
So a little while ago, a few years ago now, Lego said that they wanted to set a really ambitious goal of making their production facilities run entirely on renewable energy by 2022. Now, that's no small thing, right? They've got huge production facilities all over the world, right?
There's a lot of blocks out there.
There are. In fact, $2 billion a year is spent on blocks, so that's a big turnover, right? Yeah. So anyway, they've hit their renewable goals 3 years early. So they've already hit their renewable goals, which is fantastic news. And it's in part due to this wind farm that they've put in the Irish Sea. And there's one really giant wind turbine. And get this, it is made entirely from plastic Lego pieces.
No way.
146,000 plastic bricks to make a wind turbine.
That's incredible.
Isn't it?
The forces on that.
I know.
From the wind.
I know.
And those turbines are big. I've seen these wind farms. Thousands of the things.
How good is Lego going?
Ah, good on them.
We can feel happy again.
107.7 2GO.
Music that makes you feel good. 107.7 2GO. It's Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer. 16 in Charmhaven, heading for 17, so we're almost there. There's showers around the coast, a lot of water actually. Chance of a thunderstorm, hazardous surf and gale wind warnings. And it makes me think of someone we know when the weather's like this. Somebody who has committed to walking from Budgie Woi all the way to Brisbane. It's Brian Dorfling. Hello, sir.
G'day, Dorf.
Manny and Rob, how you guys doing?
Great, mate. Aren't you there yet?
Nah, I'm actually on a few rest days up here in Ballina. So,
Ballina.
We're still walking, but we're just taking it easy for a couple of days.
Yeah, right. You must need to, too.
You could almost just toss a fishing rod and land the hook on into Queensland from there.
I've got a brand new surfboard, Rob, that I haven't tested out yet. So I was thinking about maybe just paddling out and with those gale force winds, maybe seeing if that takes me north.
Be careful, please.
Watch out for the danger dolphins too.
Yeah. Now, last time we spoke to you, you were at Nambucca Head, so you have done some serious trekking. What have you seen in that time, Dorf?
Oh, we've seen lots. It's been a really great trip, and I was having a few leg dramas. I think, I don't know if I told you last time, but we got that sorted, and it's just a minor grade one muscle strain. So it's nothing too major.
Wow.
And now my beautiful support crew, my mum, we've been doing it in tandem. So the last few days, we've been sometimes walking an hour on, an hour off, kind of taking it as a team.
Yep.
And adding the kilometres there. But we went through Angowrie. So I don't know if you guys heard, there was a lot of fires just south of Yamba.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't safe to walk through there, so we had to actually drive around.
Oh, because of the fires. You couldn't walk through.
Well, the fires weren't going there, but just, you know, safety first. Safety first. So we had a look there, and yeah, it was quite shocking, the extent of the fires and just really how close they came to all the houses there.
Wow.
So, you know, they were super lucky that it didn't just jump that little road. It was just a road dividing it. They all got evacuated as well. So
wow, Dawes.
They were lucky there.
Right at the coalface, mate, you saw complete devastation on one side of a street and then somebody's home on the other side.
Exactly. And, yeah, so hats off to the all the fire brigade firefighters working super hard. So they managed to save all those houses. So
and this is
fantastic work.
I think this is the kind of thing you see when you're walking through country Australia, right? You must see all sorts of things that, you know, we wouldn't see just living our life here in our little cities.
100%. And the biggest thing that I'm seeing is the locals that you meet. Because when you drive past, you might get a little wave or a nod, but I mean, people are stopping me and saying, oh, what are you doing? And I'm telling the story there, and they see the support crew, because that's all decked out in the Live to Give Oz stickers and signage. So people are coming out of their little country houses and saying, oh, we heard you on the radio, or we saw you on the news, or we saw the car, what's going on? So it's a really good way to spread the word about what I'm doing and where I'm going.
I'd come out and say g'day too if I saw some bloke walking past dressed like a pelican. Are you in the pelican suit?
Walking like a pelican.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, we didn't actually mention that you're doing this walk to raise awareness for mental health in Australia, and you're going to end up in Brisbane for the Walk for Awareness event on Sunday, October 6th, and you can donate and keep up with Dorf at Live to Give Oz on the Facebook page. Is there a website with that as well, Dorf?
There is, as of yesterday.
Woo!
Brand new news.
So we launched yesterday. The guys from Friano, it's a hard name to say, designs, they gifted us a website. So it's livetogiveoz.com.au.
Look at you go. That's sensational.
Very professional.
Top stuff.
Look at you. Well, we are so thrilled to be a part of this journey with you. You know that we are all behind you. We cannot wait till you get to Brisbane. We will check in with you next week. Thank you so much for bringing us along for the ride. It's always great to talk to you, Dorf. Thank you.
Great work.
Mandy, Rob, 2GO, thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
107.7, 2GO. It's time to join Mandy and Rob's Loose Parenting Club.
Loose is fast and on the edge, you're out of control.
She's a weird child.
Loose AF.
We have a club. We've been talking about loose parenting now for some time, and we're having a loose parenting party at the Sunken Monkey on Friday night. It's going to be a hoot.
Massive.
Come and have a couple of drinks and some food with us. We've got some live music. We've also got a major prize up for grabs for everyone who's there. They go in the draw to win a weekend away from the kids in Port Stephens. It's a two-night stay at the Ramada Resort Shoal Bay and dining at the Shoal Bay Country Club. What a great parental weekend escape. You've got to get yourself to our loose parenting party, and you can do that right now. Let's hear your latest loose parenting story, Rob Palmer.
Right. Well, this was a momentous family occasion,
okay?
We were invited, along with JDRF, the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and a lot of the type 1 diabetes community, to attend Kirribilli House, right? Now, that's the residence in Sydney of the Prime Minister.
Yeah.
In Kirribilli, and we were invited to say, it was a thank you afternoon tea to thank the government and Malcolm Turnbull for his support of arming children, all children under 21 years old, with a CGM, which is a continuous glucose monitor, right? So
fantastic. And so he was the PM at the time. So
he was
gone,
the PM at the time,
right,
that had,
okay,
of the government that had supported this. It was bipartisan support, but, you know, anyway, so we're there to say thank you very much. Like, kind of a formal afternoon. So I'm there, with suit on, tie. Gwen's there, looking fantastic. The kids dolled up in their Sunday best, right? And then there's all the kids, all the type 1 diabetic kids, all in their blue T1D Army T-shirts, right, to sort of signify their involvement. And we all went in. Everyone's sort of kind of nervous because we were going to visit Kirribilli House with everyone. Yep. And you're inside. You could see parents looking around going, please do not let my child be the one that breaks something in this lounge room. Yeah. You know, because it is a spectacular residence.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, I'm out of my depth here.
Especially with the kids, though, you're right. You'd just be going, don't touch, stop it. Get away from there.
Couple of hundred people and all their kids. Like, there were kids everywhere. And you're just thinking, something's going to go soon. Anyway, so we eventually get outside towards the back of the house, and you could just see the collective sigh of relief from parents across the board going, thank goodness the kids have made it to the backyard.
Yeah.
And they're out there, and all of a sudden, the first thing these kids see is a hill on Kirribilli House. Oh, firstly, the view. The opera house is there, the harbour bridge, the city, the harbour, and it's just so spectacular, so beautiful. The setting was gorgeous. But there is a hill there that is steeper than any ride at an amusement park of grass that goes all the way. It's about 30 metres long.
Wow.
And it's steep. You couldn't walk down it. You can roll down it. That's about it.
Oh, wow. I think I know where
this is. Kids are all going. I had a little chat. See if you can pick this up. It's a little quiet, but I was having a chat that was picked up with the Prime Minister and his wife, Lucy Turnbull.
Fair enough, I'd say so. I was thinking about bringing some cardboard with me.
Yeah, cardboard's actually really cool.
We could find some.
I'll go and see if I can find some cardboard. How about that?
That would go off.
Hang on, did I just hear Lucy Turnbull say, I'll go and see if I can find some cardboard?
Yeah. Yeah,
what and Malcolm a great Turnbull moment.
There. Yeah, it was just amazing. She jumped into the situation, just went, let's do this. So she's gone out the back of Kirribilli House to wherever the cardboard is kept, because everyone recycles, and she's come back with all these sheets. Kids are flying down the hill, right? And my kids, I'm thinking, oh, here we go. So they're all going. Everyone's doing it.
Fantastic.
You know,
how great, though, that the Prime Minister and his wife have gone, we're not too posh to get a bit of cardboard out for the kids and everyone can go down the hill.
They were flying.
That's fantastic.
Right? So anyway, what had happened was the cardboard sliding went on for a little while, but then the formal side of things had to occur, right? There's a lectern and the Prime Minister was there to address everyone and just to say, you know, on behalf of the government, thank you for coming. We were thanking him, but he was thanking us, and it was really a special moment. Have a listen to him.
There's fantastic work going on right now to better understand type 1 diabetes. I'm very confident that we will find a cure. Type 1 will be type none. Thank you so much, and it's great to have you here.
Cool.
Oh, it was really amazing, so beautiful. And in the middle of all of that, that what wasn't picked up there, Greta, my five-year-old, now five-year-old, she was four at the time, had done herself in on the sliding down the hill. She'd ripped her dress, her best Sunday dress, ripped it from just underneath the chest all the way down. So there's a massive gaping hole and dragging fabric. Her hair is all over the place. There's grass stains from ear to butt all over her. She's come up as Malcolm Turnbull speaking. I'm standing right by him because I was emceeing with him for the day, and she's just grabbed Malcolm Turnbull by the wrist, yank, yank, I want to do a wee in front of everyone.
Oh, that is so fantastic.
I have just looked down, shaking my head and just thought, oh, no, that is my child.
That is so fantastic. What I love it. Doing? There with her ripped dress.
Ripped dress.
Grass stains.
Just had.
And you know what I love about Malcolm Turnbull? He probably just would have given her a pat on the head and said, right, the toilet's over there. Or
something's
whatever.
Important's happening, he said. We need to get this girl to a toilet.
Yeah,
quick smart.
Good on him.
Stopped everything. For the sake of a four-year-old's urgency.
Do we have the photo of her with Malcolm Turnbull somewhere?
It's
on Instagram and Facebook. You can check it out at 2GOFM. Have a look. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 2GO. 17, our top today. 16 in Blue Bay at the moment. Showers, thunderstorms perhaps, hazardous surf, gale, wind warning. It's a woolly Wednesday on the Central Coast. And we just said give us a call if you want to join us at our loose parenting party on Friday at the Sunken Monkey Hotel. You can book your next function there now. Join us. We'd love to see you. Shane from Campbell's coming. He's got a double pass, as does Greg from Batto Bay and Tony from Bensville. And we'll give away more tickets later in the show. So if you missed out, you want to get yourself there because you might even win yourself a weekend away without the kids at Shoal Bay Resort.
Oh, heck yes.
Ramada Resort. How good is that?
107.7 2GO.
We love having her in the studio because she brings with her all the goss that's happening at council. It's the Mayor, Jane Smith.
Good morning, Mandy. Good morning, Rob.
Jane, awesome to have you with us.
We are going to ask you about the forum that you've had for the last couple of days. Now, we heard that you've had a forum for merged councils.
Yeah, that's right. So Central Coast Council hosted the forum with Local Government New South Wales, and we had 14 of the 20 councils represented, so over 70 mayors, councillors and CEOs.
It's like when the superheroes get together, because you're called super councils, aren't you? These big councils are called super councils. So it's just like you're all getting together. Showing your super council powers.
Well, it was a bit like that, and it was really important just to share experiences and sort of to talk about the merger process, because in some councils it's been a big thing. Even in our area it's a huge thing.
Yep.
So it was an opportunity to share those experiences, good and bad.
Mm. Did you find that some councils had success where other councils didn't, and you swapped stories? Is that how it works?
Look, I think they're all working really hard to continue. You know, it's like a journey. So they're on this journey, they're doing great things, but there's been a bit of trauma with it all. You know, it's a big thing to sort of merge a number of councils for the community, but also for council staff and elected representatives. They all had periods under an administrator, and that sort of, you know, was
good and
bad. That's always hard.
That's always hard, isn't it, when you've got sort of a change happening.
Yeah. Or trying to breed two animals together, you end up with something like a platypus.
That didn't really come up over the forum, but it's a nice analogy.
Yeah, okay, great.
Fantastic analogy, Rob Palmer. That's why we love you. Is bigger better? Is a bigger council a better council? Do you get more money?
Well, look, I don't think it really is about the size of the council, because I think whether it's small or large, you can manage a good council. I think the real issue is how you represent your community and whether the community feels that they're getting what they want from their council, their services, the delivery, you know, the roads, the waste, the rubbish, but also the representation, whether their voices are being heard as we do that long-term planning as well.
Mm, excellent. Now, we're hearing there's a bit of a spill. Well, is it a spill?
Well,
there's an election.
I meant to ask, is this part of a regular government sort of process, or is there a bit of the Berejiklian about the election coming up?
Because there's an election Monday for mayor and deputy mayor. Are you worried, Jane Smith?
Well, this is something that happens regularly. So it used to be every 12 months there'd be a mayoral vote. Now it's every 2 years for those councils that don't popularly elect their mayor. So that's our council.
It's about the same time you should wait between getting your eyes checked.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting your eyes checked and you're the mayor, it's probably time for an election.
Okay.
Well, it kind of is a little bit like that. You know, it's a bit sort of checking the current temperature of the council. So so there is an election coming up on Monday, and there's lots of chatter. You know, there's no big announcements to be made at this point, but, you know, there's lots of chat, and it will be interesting for us all to see how it goes.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling confident? I mean, we've got to ask.
Is there anyone that's coming out and saying, I want to run for this?
Yeah.
Like, as in, you know. Like,
there is. We had it this morning in our local news. Lisa Matthews, who was voted in as Labor's representative.
Yeah, so look, I understand Lisa has expressed interest, and there are no doubt other councillors that are thinking about putting their hand up. Certainly I've loved being mayor and I would love to continue, but it's up to 15 councillors to determine that. You know, it has been a fantastic opportunity to lead our council and be the mayor of this community. I think our council is making fantastic progress and really doing good things out there. I know not everybody's happy all the time, but that's kind of the way it goes, and we're working to sort of improve things that people, you know, want to raise with us.
Well, I've got a campaign slogan for you. I mean, we've got the great...
I thought we might, join together here, Mandy, and try and come up with something, because we both know and love Jane Smith. So.
Well, the other thing is, you know, every great politician has a slogan. You've got your Kevin 07, you know, well, that's the only one I can remember, to be honest with you. But we've got one for you. You ready?
This will be handy.
Okay, here we go. You can put this on a T-shirt. Stay the same, stay with Jane.
Oh, that's nice. That's fantastic.
Okay. What about, don't risk a John Doe, stick with the Jane Smith, the mayor we all love and know.
That's going to be a bit of a larger T-shirt.
Yeah. That's the man-sized T-shirt. Well, all the best with the election on Monday. We've certainly loved having you in the studio to keep us abreast of all the things happening in council and across the Central Coast. So,
thanks, guys. It's been great being here.
We'll get the results next Monday. Good luck.
107.7 2GO.
Survivor update.
Oh, Survivor. You love this.
Yeah, I'm right into it. The final was last night. Before I get to that, let's just take a moment for Luke, right, who was voted out Monday night.
Luke Tocchi, yeah?
Luke Tocchi came fourth. And as he left, within a day, within half a day, GoFundMe pages were set up. Now, Luke has a difficult family, right? Well, not difficult, but he's got some challenges at home, right? He's got two kids with autism, yep, two boys, and a daughter who was born 6 weeks before he went to the island, and she has been diagnosed with cystic fibrosis.
Oh, that's tough.
So you can imagine being torn away from your family. And he's done this whole thing and he's been hard on his sleeve about why he's doing it.
Yeah.
He ruffles a lot of feathers. He's really, you know, he doesn't mix his words, but he just went out there and had a crack. And they've funded, by lunchtime yesterday, they had $168,000.
Oh, my God. So he was going to win.
First prize is $500,000.
Yeah, so he was up for winning $500,000 and he's managed to raise.
Out fourth place on Monday, raised $168,000. By 7:30 last night, it was up to $290,000. $1,000.
So he scored nearly 300 from the generosity of
the generosity and the instigation of the general public.
Wow.
If this guy doesn't have his own TV show soon, it'd be a big surprise.
Good on the public for doing that. That's such a great thing.
But now let's focus on the real deal.
Okay.
Pia Miranda and Baden, right? The two most unlikely people to be seen at the end in the final. All the jocks are gone.
Yeah.
All the heroes, all the game players, all the conniving, manipulative, you know, lying, cheating strategists, they're all gone.
Yeah. And except it's just the nice people left.
A couple of nice people.
That's so good, isn't it?
So basically, Pia's just done it through a massive social game. She smashed everyone out of the park.
Who did you want to win?
At that stage, I wanted Pia, but I was Luke. I was Luke thick and true all the way until he got sent. But Pia, I was so happy. Baden didn't stand a chance. It was almost a whitewash.
Winner of Australian Survivor, Pia.
Pia.
And she just obviously burst into tears and everyone's crying. And you're sitting on the couch crying.
Oh, this is so beautiful.
Can I just say, I did tune in and saw the challenge that the three of them had to do to get down to that final. 7 hours nearly of standing on these pointy cone things with bare feet whilst holding some weights in their hands.
You can't imagine.
Pia reckons it was like childbirth. And for 7 hours, you could see these people buckling. They're shaking. Their legs are shaking. They're essentially standing on, you know, something that's not even as big as a 50-cent piece for 7 hours, like a pointy cone thing.
That just to be able to, and for all three of them to stay there that long.
For
you
seven hours.
The dedication, and they're so committed to this $500,000 prize, right?
Mm.
And they've got through it. The thing, we're watching Survivor, you've been watching it all this time. You know where I've actually drawn a bit of a parallel with Survivor?
Mm.
Well, funnily enough, I managed to get myself down to the New South Wales Parliament yesterday.
I've ducked
in there. Yeah. There was a guy in there that he's taken an audio little recorder into the hallways. It's amazing what you pick up in the hallways of Parliament at the moment, especially with everything that's going on with the leadership.
Cracks were starting to appear in the
Liberals.
The Lions.
The Liberals could turn on each other at any point.
And with Luamado already prepared to flip.
I just want to blindside the hell out of it.
Matthew Mason Cox
just needed another vote.
Like, how do you see yourself getting to the end?
Tanya?
I don't know.
Maybe it's about time for me to have the guts to flip that alliance.
But
Tanya Davies
wasn't quite ready to write down
Berejiklian.
I just don't want to risk
Gladys
coming back in. I could risk
Barilaro
coming back in.
Berejiklian.
He's a huge player in this game.
Even though it's not
Gladys
going to eggs up,
the Liberals
are finally starting to turn on each other.
At Tribal Council,
Berejiklian
was feeling confident.
So the Liberals
are staying strong tonight.
I have no doubt in that, my mind.
And Mark Latham
was savouring every moment.
This five is a ticking time bomb. It has to go off at some point. It's just a matter of when.
The parallels are just uncanny.
107.7 2GO.
Plenty of rain around the Central Coast for your Wednesday. Showers, thunderstorms, hazardous surf, gale wind warning, 17-hour top. 16 at the moment in San Remo. It's Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 2GO. Take care on the roads. They're always a bit slippy when the weather's like this. I got wind of a story that I thought, oh, this is just unreal. And I want to talk about useless things in houses. Like useless.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not talking about like.
Not the guy on the sofa.
No, not the guy on the sofa. Useless things that you build into your house that you think, oh, that's going to be awesome, right?
Like a feature.
Like a feature, right? And the reason I want to talk about that is because over in Kansas in the States, there's a house for sale. It's up for sale for $17 million Australian dollars. It's about 11, $11 million US. And it has the most incredible features. Let me just run through what you get for 17 mil.
Yes, please.
7 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, several commercial grade kitchens. You've got 2-story office, wine cellar, walk-in closet system, a turreted library extension. You've got every single species of tree that is naturally able to grow in the region. You've got walking paths, golf cart roads. You've got a four-car garage, a gym, tennis courts, heated swimming pool, and diving tunnels for you to scuba dive in.
How about that? Do you scuba dive?
I don't scuba dive. Do you scuba dive?
I'd learn to. No, I have done my ticket a long time ago.
Yeah, but I'm sorry.
Tunnels for diving.
I'm sorry, but you've got diving tunnels in your house. How many times are you going to use those? You're going to use them once and then you're going to go, I can't be bothered.
I've seen, well, Bruce Wayne had a bat cave.
Yeah, but he was Batman. That's different. Who's using diving tunnels?
No one.
Seriously.
No, you
that
go
just
down
smacks
there.
Of useless to me.
Well,
doesn't it? Don't you reckon?
Useless.
You talk about it, you go, hey, I've got diving tunnels, but
guys,
no one's using that. No one is using diving tunnels. My friend.
That's amazing.
It is amazing. But my friend, it just reminded me of my friend who's moved into a house recently at Forreys, and the backyard is almost completely full of this kind of weird sauna. Room. So obviously used to be a sauna. It's not a sauna anymore.
Oh, defunct sauna.
It's a defunct sauna and a weird sort of defunct spa sauna room. It's all wood. It's all wood. And it's this gigantic thing that takes up most of the backyard and they can't use it as a sauna. So they've just. I mean,
you're not just going to go in there, are you? There's no windows in a sauna.
No. So it's just like they've used it as a shed kind of thing. They've just stuffed all the kids' toys and stuff in there because it's this huge room.
That is an expensive shed for the mower.
It certainly is.
That's outrageous. Useless stuff.
Useless features.
You know what else I find absolutely useless?
What?
I've had to fix hundreds of these things when I was, you know, building and waterproofing and stuff.
Mm.
Balconies on bedrooms. So you upstairs, you get a balcony off the bedroom.
Yeah.
Comes no one. I've never, ever seen a human standing on a balcony off a bedroom.
No one's using
Does
that.
Not happen.
No one's using their balcony. All right, let's do this, Central Coast. Have you got a useless feature at your house? Let's celebrate the useless features at our places. Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer with music that makes you feel good on 107.7 2GO. 17 our top today, showers around the coast, maybe a thunderstorm, hazardous surf as well, and a gale wind warning as well. So 16 at the moment in Empire Bay. And we're talking about this house that's on the market in the States in Kansas.
Yeah.
It's worth 17 Australian million bucks. And it's no wonder.
17 Australian millions.
Imagine that. 17 million bucks on a house. It's got huge. 7 bathrooms, 7 bedrooms. It's got closet systems, turreted library extensions.
At that point, it sounds like a regular mansion until.
Until you say turreted library extension. It's got the gym and the tennis court, all of that. But the thing that got me is it's got diving tunnels, scuba diving tunnels that were constructed that go out into sort of this weird outdoor pond. And I'm just like, no one is going to use a scuba diving tunnel, mate.
Can you imagine?
You're not inviting your friends around to go scuba diving, are you?
Son, was this you? No, Dad. I'll send you down the tunnel again. Maybe that's how they could have used it.
But it got us thinking about the useless features in houses. My friend's got a defunct sauna in her backyard.
It's just a block of wood. Red cedar.
Yeah, just sitting there
in the back. Just very expensive garden shed.
Exactly. And you were saying that balconies.
Well, balconies, you know, those backyard, the balconies that come off bedrooms.
Because they're always really tiny, aren't they?
Tiny little things. You open a door, you stand on it, you look outside and then you go back inside and you go, well, why didn't I just go downstairs and go outside?
Marie from Forreys. Hello.
Hi, Marie.
Hello. How are you both?
Good. Do you have a defunct useless feature at your house?
Well, not in the house I'm living in now, but when I lived in Tassie, there was this tiny balcony outside the bedroom, and it was so small, you couldn't fit a chair out there. You walked outside, stood out there with your morning coffee, and it was sort of surrounded by this vine or ivy growing all around it. So it was really good to spying on your neighbours.
Oh, Marie.
So you did use your little balcony.
You did.
I did, but it wasn't big enough for two. It was just me. So while the other half went to work, I'd be in my dressing gown, having my morning coffee, checking out the neighbours, the cows, the horses. Yeah, it was great.
Marie, I love Marie's that you weren't afraid to be Mrs. Mangle in that instance. Yeah. That was fantastic.
Spy alcove.
That. Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. People are still using those little Fair miniature enough. Balconies. Let's go to Adrian in your minor. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, Adrian.
Hello, Mandy and Rob. How are you going?
Good. What's your useless feature at your place?
Biggest all-time useless feature ever in my house was my children.
Adrian.
Not only were they useless when they lived there, when they moved out, now I've got a 5-bedroom house that's even more useless.
Hey, be careful. They might move back in, Adrian.
Yeah, exactly.
They might move back in.
With their kids.
I do understand that. I've got some teenagers and, yeah, no, there's not a lot of motivation going on. We're gonna send you to the Seen and Heard Festival. You want to go and see Wolf Mother and Eskimo Joe in Newcastle on Sunday, November 10?
Yes, please.
Oh, you're there, buddy. You're there.
You're beauty.
Yeah, good luck.
I'll take one of the kids.
Yeah.
Good stuff, Adrian.
107.7 2GO.
Oh, the air violin in the studio. How fantastic to train.
Nice work on the string section, Mandy.
Thank you very much. It's Breakfast with Mandy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 2GO. Showers and a chance of a thunderstorm for the coast today. Hazardous surf, gale winds. 17 our top. It's chilly and wet. Take care on the roads right now. 16 in Davistown. And he joins us every week at this time. Michael Schaefer, hello.
G'day.
Good morning, guys. What a beautiful love song that song is from Train. And I got to say, love is in the air this week in my life.
Is it?
Because it is in the air because one of my best mates just got engaged, which is very exciting for him. And he was telling me and my girlfriend, Amanda, the story about how they got engaged.
Yeah.
And I've realized that my girlfriend, Amanda, really wants a more elaborate proposal than what this guy did.
Oh, right. Okay.
So this is the proposal story. He was just sitting on the couch with his now fiance, just watching TV in their apartment. And then in an ad break, he just turns to her and says, "Will you marry me?"
Oh,
and
no.
She said yes, and now they're engaged. That's the story.
Really pathetic.
An ad break.
In an ad break.
In an
maybe
ad break.
A Gillette ad.
Well, obviously, they were really enjoying that episode of Law and Order SVU. And so he waited until there was a bit of a moment.
Yeah.
But what's great is that, so he told us the story. And then my girlfriend, Amanda, goes, "Oh my God, that's so beautiful. That's so romantic. I love the simplicity of that. That's absolutely gorgeous." And then as soon as he left, she goes to me, "If you do that, I will say no."
I love that she pretended and went, "Yeah, oh, that doesn't matter about where it is. It's the question's the important part."
Supportive friend.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's so much pressure now for me to do a good proposal. You know, they say, like, you got to get a nice ring, you got to spend, because me and my girlfriend are together for 10 years. So, like, we're coming up to that point.
Yeah.
People are saying to me, "You got to spend 3 months' salary on the engagement ring." But I'm a comedian. Like, I don't have $75 in there for an engagement ring.
Now, 3 months. Been
that's
a lean
crazy.
3 months.
And like people say to me, this my theory is that like also like it's really you can't tell if a ring is real or fake anyway. That's my theory, okay? And I feel like you could easily get away with it. Like men are always going out spending like $10,000 on a ring. Like why not just go to like a cheap jewelry store like Zammel's? Just do that. Like
get
I think
a cubic
Zammel's,
zirconia.
Just get that. They wouldn't even know. I think that should be the slogan for Zammel's. It should be Zammel's. She'll never know. Honestly, that should be just how they market it.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I've been thinking about it heaps, why I think it's a waste of time. And this is why I think it's a waste of time to spend all this money on a ring. There was a story that came out of California just a couple of days ago about this lady who got proposed to and she's wearing her very, very expensive engagement ring. Mm. One night she goes to sleep and has a vivid dream where these masked men are trying to steal her ring from her.
Oh.
And the only way for her to protect her ring is by swallowing it, right? So she has this dream. Wakes up the next morning, cannot find the ring on her finger.
Oh, no.
She's wondering what's going on. She notices there's a glass of water next to her bedside table.
No.
And then she puts it together and realizes that she swallowed the ring in her dream.
She's living the dream.
Literally living the dream. You know that old joke about how like, oh, I had a dream that I was eating a giant marshmallow and I woke up, my pillow had disappeared?
Yeah.
Like basically, she's had that experience with her dream. So she had to go to a doctor. They do an x-ray. There's an amazing x-ray of this ring like in her stomach. And they had to surgically remove the ring from her stomach to save it, which I'll be honest with you, I thought was unnecessary. I think, why not just let the ring pass through? I mean, if carrot is anything like corn, it's just going to pass straight through and she'll be absolutely fine.
Like the coins of a Christmas pudding.
100%, it goes straight through, you know. But then I thought, you know, you don't want it to pass through. I mean, it might damage her ring by the time it goes by through.
Don't worry about her intestines.
But I, so anyway, that was kind of like, that was this story. And I sent it to my girlfriend. I said, hey, so have a look at this story. I don't think we should spend that much money on a ring. Maybe I'll just get you an onion ring or something instead, you know, because at least if you eat that, it will go straight through. We won't have any issues. And I got them very, very angry text message back from her just saying, like, you better spend 3 months' salary on it. I'm like, oh, great. I'll head to Zammel's and I'll get something nice from there for $75.
Mate, I hope you tell us when you finally do pop the question to Amanda.
Oh, well, I think there's an episode of SVU on tonight, so I might do it tonight.
Do it. I dare you to. Michael Schaefer, always great to chat. Have a great day.
Thanks, guys.
107.7 2GO.
A Mickey D is in just minutes with your next opportunity to guess what this sound is and score yourself $31,000.
Big time. He's itching to give it away,
He is, and he's teasing me because he wants to give it away. I want to give it away. Of course, we've got no control over when it goes off. Someone's going to guess it. Could go off with Bobby Peters in the afternoon. Who knows?
That is true.
But I want to give it away.
Well, I would like the next caller to get it.
I know.
Okay, so let's just try and...
All right, well, the clues for the secret sound are now shopping centre, Europe, glass, and today you found one in your shoe.
Yeah, surprise, surprise, Germany.
So put that all together and think about what this sound is and join Mickey D in moments. You can catch up on our show online at 2gofm.com.au and enjoy your Wednesday. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Go well.